Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. My name is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend, my friends, we prepare for the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And let's begin with our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God this morning? Check. Is your heart wide open for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you now free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to the four questions, then we are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 20 to 32. In those days, the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sins so grave, that I must go down and see whether or not their actions fully correspond to the cry against them that comes to me. I mean to find out." While Abraham's visitors walked on farther toward Sodom, the Lord remained standing before Abraham. Then Abraham drew nearer and said, "Will you sweep away the innocent with the guilty? Suppose there were 50 innocent people in the city. Would you wipe out the place rather than spare it, for the sake of the 50 innocent people within it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to make the innocent die with the guilty, so that the innocent and the guilty would be treated alike. Should not the judge of all the world act with justice?" The Lord replied, "If I find 50 innocent people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham spoke up again, "See how I am presuming to speak to my Lord, though I am but dust and ashes. What if there were 5 less than 50 innocent people? Will you destroy the whole city because of those 5? He answered, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." But Abraham persisted, saying, "What if only 40 are found there?" He replied, "I will forbear doing it for the sake of the 40. Then Abraham said, "Let not my Lord grow impatient if I go on. What if only 30 are found there?" He replied, "I will forbear doing it if I can find but 30 there." Still Abraham went on, "Since I have thus dared to speak to my Lord, what if there are no more than 20? The Lord answered, "I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. But he persisted, "Please let not my Lord grow angry if I speak up this last time. What if there are at least 10 there?" He replied, "For the sake of those 10, I will not destroy it." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Genesis today, my friends, we see the Lord's mercy demonstrated with Abraham's questions. And the Lord's mercy is infinite. But he does call for change, which is so important. In the book of Genesis, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grave. And today, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we must oppose the immorality that has become so visible, so dominant, so accepted, and is so opposite to the Word of God and to what God calls us to do in our lives. I want to interject today with the book of Leviticus, which is very powerful for the morality within our society. And in the book of Leviticus, the sanctity of sex, chapter 18, as it is highlighted, the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and tell them, I, the Lord, am your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt, where you once lived, nor shall you do as they do in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you. Do not conform to their customs. My decrees you shall carry out, and my statutes you shall take care to follow. I, the Lord, am your God. Keep then my statutes and decrees, for the man who carries them out will find life through them. I am the Lord." And the passage goes on to say this, my friends: "None of you shall approach a close relative to have sexual intercourse with her. I am the Lord. You shall not disgrace your father by having intercourse with your mother. Besides, since she is your own mother, you shall not have intercourse with her. You shall not have intercourse with your father's wife, for that would be a disgrace to your father. You shall not have intercourse with your sister, your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether she was born in your own household or born elsewhere. You shall not have intercourse with your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, for that will be a disgrace to your own family. You shall not have intercourse with the daughter whom your father's wife bore to him, since she too is your sister. You shall not have intercourse with your father's sister, since she is your father's relative. You shall not have intercourse with your mother's sister, since she is your mother's relative. You shall not disgrace your father's brother by being intimate with his wife, since she too is your aunt. You shall not have intercourse with your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife, and therefore you shall not disgrace her. You shall not have intercourse with your brother's wife, for that would be a disgrace to your brother. You shall not have intercourse with a woman and also with her daughter, nor shall you marry and have intercourse with her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. This would be shameful because they are related to her. While your wife is still living, you shall not marry her sister as her rival, for thus you would disgrace your first wife. You shall not approach a woman to have intercourse with her while she is unclean from menstruation. You shall not have carnal relations with your neighbor's wife, defiling yourself with her. You shall not offer any of your offspring to be immolated to Molech, thus profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. Such a thing is an abomination. You shall not have carnal relations with an animal, defiling yourself with it, nor shall a woman set herself in front of an animal to mate with it. Such things are abhorrent." And my friends, I lay this out for you and I as a reminder of God's instructions to us, coming from the book of Leviticus, how the Lord spoke to Moses and gave him the instructions for men and women to move forward in a positive way, building up strong family life here on earth. and it's powerful. And today we see the outcry against immorality. And nothing has changed, because truly in the history of the world, as God sees it, these things have been there. But it's up to you and I to make a decision each and every day to go forward in the direction that the Lord tells us to go, and to teach our children to do the same, because there will always be people who will be undisciplined and who will move forward in a direction that the Lord says not to go. And yes, there will be disgraced families and there will be chaos amongst relatives because of immorality, undiscipline, selfishness, greed, pride, prejudice, the superego. And this is important, my friends, that you and I understand that God has instructed Moses to speak to the Israelites and to tell them, I, the Lord, am your God, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt. So God is still calling us, as he did Moses, telling us to proceed in the right direction and to not do what other people are doing, not following the crowd, but being my own man, being the woman that you are called to be, as a wife, as a mother, as a daughter, as a grandmother, the woman you are called to be, the man you are called to be, to do exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is instructing us to do. The steps of a good man is an order from the Lord, and it's not something that we can choose not to do. It is an order in the book of Psalms, and we are called to follow in that direction, to become great men, and to avoid these things that we just laid out in the book of Leviticus. And once again, in the book of Genesis, chapter 18, we see that the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is very great. And today we see the same, my friends, from parents and grandparents and people who are authentic Christians, people who are rooted in the right way to go in the eyes of God. And the Lord's mercy, as we see it in the book of Genesis, is apparent as Abraham truly lays out some scenarios to see if the Lord will destroy a city when there are innocent people within it. And the Lord's mercy, once again, is apparent. And he makes it clear that he will not destroy everything. But he does call for change. What is the number one change that you and I have to make? What is that change that we are reluctant to make, that we are putting off, unable to come to terms with it? What is the number one change, my friends, that you need to make today? And there's no time like the present to get started, and God is with us. He's listening to every word, and he is watching everything we do. Now is the time to make that change, my friends, and to come on board with what God tells us to do and not to do. Let's go to our second reading, which is from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And even when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, obliterating the bond against us with its legal claims, which was opposed to us. He also removed it from the midst, nailing it to the cross. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Colossians, once again, my friends, from St. Paul, we are given a tremendous message and an opportunity to follow St. Paul's instructions. And he says, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, obliterating the bond against us. He also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross. And so we're talking about sin, and we are forgiven. And the Lord does it all at the foot of the cross. And truly, you know, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is a gift to us to remove sin from our lives and give us opportunity for eternal life with our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, to give us an opportunity to make changes, to live a sin-free life, and to teach our children to do the same. This weekend, I performed a baptism over in St. Mary's Cathedral in Trenton, New Jersey. And it was a powerful opportunity to lift up the parents and the godparents of a newborn child, only a few months old, and to give them some guidance and direction through the Word of God. Because we see children today who have lost their parents, who have parents who do not align themselves with the Word of God, do not go to church, are not speaking about God's Word at the dinner table. And the baptism, the first sacrament, is such a beautiful opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to really bring the child into the church, prepare it for eternal life, and to uplift not only the parents and godparents, but all in attendance for that moment in time. And so it was a great opportunity to do that and to get the feedback from the father and the mother of the child and other people who had attended, who found it very, very, satisfying to hear the good words of our Lord Jesus Christ and commentary with it, to bring people to a higher standard, to get them motivated and inspired to do the very best for their children. Because not everyone is doing that, my friends. Sometimes parents need to make changes in their behaviors, in their habits, in the way they speak to other people, the way they speak to one another, the way they care for their children. What they do with their time is critical, so that the children are getting the very best parental guidance that God can provide. Prior to the baptism, I had performed a funeral and wake service in a funeral parlor in Trenton as well. And it's worth mentioning because this is a very powerful opportunity to lift up people who are experiencing the loss of a loved one at that moment, who are depressed and sad because a son died, a brother died, a husband died. In this case, a 41-year-old man had passed on, and in attendance at the wake service were close to 125 people. And you know, one of the young men there was a 7-year-old boy. He was the son of this person who had passed away. And prior to his father passing away, his mother also had passed away some time before. So this 7-year-old young man, who is now without parents, has to face life and the challenges within life on his own with the help of his grandparents and other people, but his mother and father are no longer in his life. And so sometimes life can be unfair. But what can we do for our children and for those children out there who are without parents because they have passed on, they are incarcerated, they have addiction to drugs or alcohol? What can we do? God says to love your neighbor as yourself. Is there anything you and I can do to help in the cause, to help children who are the victims of unfair situations, born into it, and are now very vulnerable and are challenged to grow and to develop their own lives without their mothers and their fathers? I want you to think about it, my friends, and I challenge you to rise to the occasion to do something this week for someone else's child who truly is in need of greater mentorship, some financial support, greater love, friendship, whatever you can do. And if all you can do is pray for that young man, that 7-year-old, who is without his mother and father today, then please take a moment, take a minute, an hour, and to pray for this young man, and his name is Trey. So I thank you for that prayer. Let's go to our gospel reading from the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. And here it is. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not subject us to the final test.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him." And he says in reply from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything." I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Luke today, my friends, Jesus said, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test.'" How is it that you and I pray, my brothers and sisters? How is it that you and I pray on a daily basis? Do we offer our Lord quality time in prayer? Or is it just an occasional time that's set aside once a week at the church? Many years ago, a woman taught me the difference between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, who created the world, who created heaven and earth, who created the oceans, who created man and woman, created the sun and the stars, the moon. And God the Son, who was sent by the Father 2,000 years ago to die for us on the cross, to save us from our sins, giving us access to eternal life. And God the Holy Spirit, who was given to us as a gift, who lives within as we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And so are we praying, my friends, often? Do we pray from the heart? Does God hear our prayers? Are we offering Him rote prayer only, insincere, disrespectful, rushed, or are we taking the time to offer God an authentic prayer from the heart, an authentic prayer that's been written down and has been created, composed from the heart, which is powerful? Prayers like the Holy Rosary given to Saint Dominic in the year 1200. And many other prayers that we have, the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Prayers from the heart. Even the word Jesus, the single word Jesus, is our prayer. And the Lord knows your intentions. Before you ask, God knows what it is you need. But He says here, in the Gospel of Luke, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. What father among you would give his son a snake when he asks for a fish? And to all the fathers out there, my friends, your sons need you. And our Father in heaven is there for you and for your son as well. And it's powerful. Giving you the very best that He can give at all times, as He gave us our Lord Jesus Christ, which was His Son. And He died on the cross for us. This weekend, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I challenge you to raise the standard and to educate and motivate your family members about how to pray from the heart, to touch minds and hearts, to share the love of God within your prayer. Our Blessed Mother Mary calls us to pray for peace within our hearts, and so that we can share that peace, that love, with other people we come in contact with. My friends, that's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. Have a great day. God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Have a great day and God bless. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.